See, the Bible addresses our attitudes. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 into chapter 3, it addresses what I believe is a distinctly unique Christian attitude. Not to us, but to your
name be the glory. Yeah! Thank you for joining us on Truth That Changes Lives. Pastor J.P. Jones is the senior pastor of Crossline Community Church in Laguna Hills, California, and a professor in biblical studies at Biola University. Today on Truth That Changes Lives, Pastor J.P. will be giving us a message from a series entitled Finding Hope in Tough Times. Let's listen in as J.P. gives us part one of The Right Attitude.
1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to be looking at the end of this chapter and then the first part of chapter 3. It's all about attitude, because our attitude affects the way we perceive our environment, and our attitude determines how we respond to our environment. This past Friday night, I was at a high school football game, and it was one of those games that was so filled with penalties and emotion that it almost took away the joy to kind of watch the game. You see, something was going on in the field. That's to be determined by, you know, the most objective person, which usually aren't the players, usually not the coaches, certainly not the fans. And this evening, it wasn't even the refs, because it was one of those games where the refs were calling every penalty they could possibly call, and it only exacerbated all the emotion that was taking place on the field. So it was just kind of an ugly game to watch. Here's what's the reality. A play was taking place. A game was taking place, and the refs had a certain attitude about that. And the players had a certain attitude about what the refs were doing. And the coaches had a certain attitude about what the players and the refs were doing. And the fans had a certain attitude about what everybody was doing. And everybody's attitude was bad. I would say that everybody in that stadium had some kind of a bad attitude. Now, it strikes me that in a real way, that's like a reflection of what just happens in everybody's life. Something is going on in our world. We may have an objective understanding or we may not. But something's going on and we have a certain attitude about it. And the people around us have certain attitudes about it as well. See, our attitudes color our perception and influence our response. That's why our attitudes matter to God. That's why so much of the Bible, especially the New Testament, is directed towards our attitude. It's not about trying to change things that we may or may not be able to change, but taking ownership for what we can change, and that's us, our attitude. I've shared this with you before because I think it speaks volumes to this issue. It's called a superior attitude. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than success, than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than appearances, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, or a family. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is change our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we react to it. We are in charge of our attitudes, and a superior attitude will produce superior results. What kind of attitude do you have? See, the Bible addresses our attitudes, and in 1 Peter chapter 2 into chapter 3, it addresses what I believe is a distinctly unique Christian attitude. See if you pick up what it is. 1 Peter 2, starting at verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king or to the supreme authority, or to governors, who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it's commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and you endure it? But if you suffer for doing right, for doing good, and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you have been like sheep who've gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Wives, in this same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. In the space of just a few verses, Peter repeats himself three times, addressing the distinctly unique Christian attitude. Did you catch it? All of us are to be submissive to our authorities. Slaves are to be submissive to their masters, and wives are to be submissive to their own husbands. So wherever you are in your season of life, wherever you are in your lot of life, whatever authorities there are over you, the distinctively Christian attitude is an attitude of submission. You say, JP, how is that distinctively Christian? Because you tell me one person who wants to submit to authority. It ain't me. It's not. And I bet it's not you either. Because our natural tendency, it's just in our DNA, is we want to be in charge of our own lives. We want to be in control of our own behavior. We don't want someone telling us what to do. We want to be able to tell ourselves what to do or what not to do. See, submission goes counter to our nature. And that's why it's a uniquely Christian attitude. It's a uniquely Christ-like attitude. And as we're going to see in these passages, in these verses that we're looking at, Jesus himself is our example. Now, let me tell you right off the bat, and I base this based upon a lot of the questions I got after the first service, because you're not going to like me at the end of the sermon, so I'm going to already try to cut off the questions you're going to ask me before we get there. The mature response to this study from Scripture is, this is the attitude God wants me to have, but there are always in life certain exceptions that I have to wrestle with. And it takes wisdom to know what the exceptions are and how I should wrestle with them. That's the mature attitude. The immature attitude is to jump immediately to the exceptions and try to make the exceptions the norm and basically try to say, I don't have to submit, do I? In fact, the very thought of talking about submission for some of us is raising within us an attitude that is anything but submissive. That's why it's a uniquely Christian attitude. This is the attitude of Jesus. Think about the strength that it took Jesus Christ to surrender to an unjust accusation, to be tortured and sacrifice his life when he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who could just speak a word and slay his enemies. And we've been called to walk in his steps. The unique attitude of a Christ follower, what is it? Well, it's the attitude of submission. Because three times in this passage, the term is used. And it is an all-comprehensive term describing the behavior of all of us. Distinctly in this passage, also slaves to masters and wives to husbands. But six times in the book of 1 Peter, Peter uses this word. The Greek word is hupotasso. It's actually a military word taken right out of a formation where in troop movements, certain troops were to form under the authority of their commanding officer and were to align themselves under the direction of the commanding officer or were to align themselves under the formation of a more strategic force in front of it. And so it addresses this sense of understanding the chain of command, not talking about worth or value, but strategic movement at a particular time. And in the military parlance, Every soldier is just as significant, but in the fighting of a battle, the commander might put one force in one place and another force in the other place, and both need to be understanding their submission to the direction of the commanding officer. That's the term that's used to describe the way we are to approach our lives with respect to the authority that God puts in our life. And it's a uniquely Christian attitude because the Apostle Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 5, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Notice all of us, wives, children, he goes on to speak about slaves and masters. Verse 5, he says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. In each of those relationships, there is the exhortation to submission, but it's tied to submitting to Christ, out of fear of Christ, out of reverence for Christ, as unto the Lord. See, the real person we're submitting to is Christ. It's a Christian attitude. This isn't just, you know, positive skills of communication, how to get along by getting along. No, this is how to live as a follower of Jesus Christ. And remember the larger context that we were looking at, if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, Peter is specifically addressing this whole idea of living such good lives before the pagans that they may see your behavior and as a result glorify God in heaven. Well, what is that good life that is observable? Well, if it was just challenging authority, that wouldn't be any different than anybody else because parents challenge children. We challenge our bosses, and we challenge our governing authorities, and we challenge the IRS, and, you know, anytime somebody wants us to do something we don't want to do, we challenge it. So if that is the way we live, that isn't any different than anybody else. So what's a distinctively unique Christian response? What kind of attitude would really distinguish us as followers of Jesus Christ? What kind of attitude would actually be the attitude that Jesus modeled before us? Submission to the Father, submission to authority. Ooh, I don't know, man. That's tough. That's kind of harsh. Well, it is because it takes us out of just doing what we want to do the way we want to do it when we want to do it. But Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that wouldn't be of an advantage for you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Submission is a hard thing to do. Sometimes you're forced to do it. Last night, I was watching the Ultimate Fighting Championships, and in the fights, sometimes guys are forced to submit. That's actually the term that's used. When a guy gets in some kind of hold that is either so painful that they can't stand it anymore, or they are rendered helpless and they can't defend themselves anymore, they tap out. That's what it's called doing. They tap the mat or they tap their opponent. And then when they call the fight, they lost by submission. Maybe your circumstances in your life right now are forcing you to submit. That's usually not a good place to be, by the way, gang. A whole lot better to respond to Jesus Christ with devotion and obedience and maturity and voluntarily submit to his authority. See, it's always a challenge, but it's especially hard when the authority that we're being called to submit to is unjust or unfair or unchristian, or unloving. But notice, that's exactly what Peter says. That is exactly what he says in the passage. In 1 Peter 2 and 3, it's we're to submit to our governing authorities when we think they're jerks. We're slaves are to submit to masters when they're unfair. And wives are to submit to husbands when they're turkeys. I mean, this is the point. The point is, if the person who's in authority or the institution in authority over me is kind and good and benevolent and never asks me to do anything I wouldn't want to do anyway, who couldn't submit to that? I mean, that's not even submission. That's just doing your own thing and the fact that somebody around you doesn't bug you about it. It's when you have to surrender your will out of deference to the will of another that it becomes submission. And that is exactly what Jesus did for us to redeem us on the cross. And that's why we're called to walk in his steps. And that's why it is a distinctly unique Christian attitude. Well, why do we do it with a positive spirit, you know? I mean, do I have to be smiling about it? Well, here's something we need to understand. All authority is established by God, who is, in fact, the supreme and ultimate authority. Listen to this passage from Daniel. This is Daniel chapter 7. In my vision at night, I looked, and there was before me, like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. And he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power over all peoples, all nations, all men of every language. They worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. My gosh, listen to the language it's used to describe God in the Ancient of Days, who is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It's descriptive language. He is the absolute authority. He has full dominion over all nations, all peoples. He's in charge. God is in charge. God is the sovereign, infinite creator, and we are finite creations. And even every authority structure, as powerful as it may be, whether it's a dictator or a kingdom or a nation, or the devil himself, is still finite and created and must bow before the Creator. God has infinite authority. In fact, Jesus said after the resurrection, when he commanded his disciples to take this great message to the ends of the earth, he said in Matthew 28, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples." And Peter, in 1 Peter, in a few more verses on from the passage we're looking at in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, "By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we've been saved. He has gone into heaven. He is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him." So it is critical that we understand God is the ultimate authority. Now, get this, because this, it won't make any sense if we don't get this. Romans chapter 13 says this: "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." No authority. Whether it's a teacher, a coach, a police officer, a mayor, a governor, a president, a kingdom, a nation, a military force, Adolf Hitler. There is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Which, you know, by the way, when Paul was writing this, you know who the ultimate authority was on earth? Nero. Was he a good guy? No. Not a very good guy. In fact, he delighted in persecuting Christians. He dreamed up creative ways to inflict torture and pain on Christians. Verse 2, "Consequently," in light of this truth that all authority has been established by God, "consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against," what do you think the next word is? God. Wow. It is a distinctly unique Christian attitude to submit to authority, because God is the ultimate authority, and any authorities with a small a only exist because God has established them. So if we rebel against them in an unrighteous way, remember I said earlier, the mature person realizes there's always some exceptions and you got to wisely negotiate the exceptions. The immature person wants to jump to the exception and make that the norm for everything and basically say, "I don't have to submit to anybody I don't like." But that's obviously not what the passage is saying. The passage is saying there's going to be times in our following of Jesus Christ, we got to submit to people. We don't want to, but we do it because we're following Jesus Christ. That's why it's a distinctly unique Christian attitude. And if we don't do it, the person we're really rebelling against is not our coach, our boss, our husband, our government. The person we're really rebelling against is God. I told you you weren't going to like me at the end of this message. But I calls them like I sees them. This is just what this passage is talking about. God is the ultimate authority, and all authorities have been established by God. Now, let me give you an illustration of that that might help that become clear to you, because you might right now be having to deal with some authority issues that you're not real happy about. And I understand that. In the book of Isaiah, in the Hebrew scriptures, Isaiah wrote around 700 BC. He wrote prophetically. He's describing something that hadn't happened. In fact, it wasn't going to happen for the next 100 to 150 years. So he's writing supernaturally before the fact as God gave him prophetic utterance. And in 700 BC, in Isaiah chapter 48, Isaiah writes, I'm going to say to Cyrus, now no Cyrus was living at that time. He didn't exist. He was going to be the greatest king at that time on earth. He was going to be the king and ruler of Persia, and the Persian Empire ruled everything at this time. But this is like 100 to 150 years in the future. But he says prophetically in Isaiah 44, verse 28, I'm going to say to Cyrus, he's my shepherd. He will accomplish all that I please. He will say of Jerusalem, let it be rebuilt. Well, Jerusalem didn't need to be rebuilt. It was standing perfectly. People were happy. They were safe. They were worshiping. But he's talking about something in the future. He says, let it be rebuilt and the temple, let its foundations be laid. They were still sacrificing the temple. There's nothing wrong with it. Isaiah 45, verses 1 to 3. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus. In fact, that word anointed, some of you may know this, the Hebrew word for anointed, you know what that word is? It's translated English as anointed. Maybe you know it in its Greek translation, Christ.
What a great message for all of us today. Pastor JP provides us with great insight. That is why we'd like to make it available to you on CD. Just get in touch and mention today's date. We'll send it your way for just $5. Or if you'd like to support this ministry, you can write us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or give us a call at 949-916-0250. That's 949-916-0250. For your gift of $25 or more, we will send you a signed copy of JP's new book, Facing Goliath. Please join us every Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. at Crossline Church in Laguna Hills. The address is 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or check us out on the web at crosslinechurch.com. We're going to get to the address and phone number again in a moment. But before we do that, Pastor JP, do you have any insight from today's message?
Thanks, Greg. You know, it's been said that attitude is more important than ability. In other words, the attitude that we bring to a task or to a relationship or to a life is really more significant than the native or natural ability that we have. Our attitude either leads us to be hardworking, loving, committed people, or our attitude leads us to be negative, critical, self-centered people. What kind of attitude do you have? You see, in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter talks about a unique Christian attitude. There is a life disposition that as followers of Jesus Christ, we've not only been called to, but that we actually embrace. It's an attitude of submission, and it's an attitude of service. It's a willingness to put others before ourselves. It's a humble acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives, and that we live every life in submission to Jesus and the plan that He has for us. That is so foreign to the natural way that we think. You see, the book of Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. Are you following the way of death, or are you following the way of life? Do you have the attitude that Christ has called you to, an attitude of submission and an attitude of service? Would you ask Jesus to give you the kind of attitude that would honor Him and bless others? Let's pray right now. God, we pray that You would give us a Christ-like attitude to submit to Your authority, to submit to Your rule, to submit to Your plan, and to serve those around us. Help us follow in the very steps of Jesus. Help us have a Christ-like attitude that honors You and blesses others. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to help you in your relationship with Christ. Please get in touch with us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or call us at 949-916-0250. On the internet, you will find us at crosslinechurch.com. We hope to see you at one of our services every Sunday at our new campus in Laguna Hills. For more information and directions, please go to crosslinechurch.com. Please join us next time on Truth That Changes Lives.
The cross before, the world behind, no turning back.